head on out. Just Megan strolling on out the door. Well, we're glad you're here this morning. Another cold, snowy morning, and it's good to see Phyllis up and about after surgery. So we're thinking of and praying for you, but we're glad you're able to make it. We're going to start a new series this morning. We just finished a Christmas series at the end of December, and then last week we sort of did a New Year's sermon talking about looking back before you look forward and talking about some of the goals for the church for this coming year. But now we're going to start a new series, though probably better termed a mini-series, as it's just going to be four short little sermons. Just for the rest of this month of January, we're going to take this week and the next 3 weeks to talk about, frankly, to talk about a topic that's near and dear to my heart. A topic that's always been near to my heart ever since in high school, my freshman year of high school, is the first time I went on a missions trip. Went to Puerto Rico with a certain Josh Harris, who's in this room. He's got a good story. If you want to hear a story to laugh about one of the dumbest things that he and I ever did, you can find out about how we ruined a basketball goal at a church. So, not our most shining moment, but ever since that trip, and ever since my freshman year of high school, I've had a heart for missions. Had a real desire to continue going on mission trips and to be a part of a church that supports missions. And it was one of the things, frankly, that attracted me to Grace. And so we're going to start this little series today called simply A Heart for Missions. What does it mean to have a heart for missions? And how is it that God desires for us to have a heart for missions? And I do want to point out, right, I want to think a little bit about our church. Right, I have always loved that Grace Bible Church cares for missions the way that it does. You know, to be honest, over the last 5 years or so, we had seen a decrease in the overall budget of the church, and it would have been pretty easy for the church to say to a couple of missionaries, hey, I'm sorry, but we need to stop supporting you because our budget has been declining. And it would have been easy to take some of that money and redirect it, refocus it into the congregation here to the church here, and they never did that, right? And so I'm proud of the fact that though we're a smaller church with a pretty small budget on the whole, the fact that we support several missionaries here, that we've been faithful in supporting missionaries over the last many years, and that in addition to continuing to support missionaries, we've actually added several missionaries in the last few years. And so I love the fact that Grace, as a church, that we've been faithful to our missionaries. And then, as you think about it, as a church body, the downside here is that it'd be easy for us to sort of just pat ourselves in the back, to feel like, well, we've done our part, right? We've been a part of supporting these missionaries, and we'll continue to do it, but that's sort of all that God has for us in missions. And I think to do so would really be to miss out on what God desires for us in the area of missions. That as we look at this area, at missions and missionaries, being a part of missions, but as we look at God's call on our lives as Christians, we're going to quickly see that He wants more for us than just giving as a church family occasionally. That what God desires for us in this area is that He desires more. He really desires that we have a heart for missions. First and foremost, because God Himself has a heart for missions. But before we move any further, we should probably define our terms, right? We should probably define what do we mean by missions. And frankly, this is a surprisingly difficult task. Normally when we're in the church and we're going to say, okay, let's define a term, then what we do is we do what we call a word study. All right, so we do a word study, and if you're unfamiliar with word studies, essentially what you do is you take a word like heaven. This happened in the class on heaven this morning. You take a word like heaven and you say, okay, I'm going to look at all the uses of this word in the Bible. I'm going to sort of look at them all. I'm going to categorize them. I'm going to sort of sum them down. I'm going to figure out what does the Bible mean when it says heaven? What are the different ways in which it uses this term? And can I make a definition of what we mean by heaven from it? And often, right, biblical scholars will then take that word, okay, let's look at heaven. Well, let's look in the Greek or the Hebrew, and let's look at the words that are used. And so let's do that this morning. Let's do an entire word study right now from the pulpit. We're going to do an entire word study on the word missions in the Bible. Ready? Okay, we're done. We are done. Why? Because the word missions is not used in Scripture even a single time. You say, well, okay, missions isn't, but how about missionary, right? This is a very common term, right? We support several missionaries. We have a couple of our missionaries in this room with us right now. So how about missionary? Let's do a word study on missionary in the Bible and we're done. Right? 0 times in Scripture does the word missions appear, and 0 times in Scripture does the word missionary appear. Okay, well, at least we've got a related term, a term mission. So how about just mission? Let's do mission. Okay? It's used 4 times total in all 66 books of the Bible. Mission is used 4 times. And so then we do the normal thing. All right, let's take that word mission and let's look at the Greek or Hebrew terms used. Well, the problem is that 2 of the times when the word mission is used in Scripture, it's a mission to do something, or they're on a mission, and it's simply the Greek term hados, which means way or road. So it's basically while someone is on their way, and in the English, our translators in the ESV have decided to use mission because it gets a little bit more of the idea. Okay, so that's not really helpful. The 3rd time that mission is used in Scripture, there's actually no word there at all. It's actually just the Greek definite article. It's like the thing, essentially, and our translators decided to translate it as, you know, to give us the word mission to help understand what the passage is talking about. So that's 3 of them, and the 4th use is the Greek term erga, which simply means works or deeds, and that was the mission. So to summarize, when you're talking about missions, missionary, and mission, and you're looking in the biblical text, when you're looking in the Bible itself, you're really in no help at all. So you sort of start to ask yourself, why is it then that this is such a common term in the church? Why is it that we have a missions ministry, that we support several missionaries, right? If missions really isn't actually a biblical term, if by that we mean a term found in the Bible. I mean, it's pretty strange. So it's really not a biblical term. Right? It's not found in the Bible, if that's what we mean by biblical. So we gotta ask, okay, then what do we mean by missions? Well, if it's not a biblical term, then maybe we should first ask, well, where did it come from? Where did this term missions come from? And can that shed some light on what we mean by missions? And yeah, actually, I think it really will. What we're gonna find is that the term mission doesn't come from the Greek, it doesn't come from the Hebrew, it actually comes from the Latin. And that as we look at the Latin root of the word mission, or missions, that as we look at the Latin root, we can actually learn 2 really interesting, unique lessons about what we mean when we use the term missions. So here's your Latin for the morning. Normally you get Greek and Hebrew. Bonus today, you get some Latin. Latin, the term mission comes from the Latin missio, or the verb form mitto or mittere, which means to send. Missio in the Latin means an act of sending, or one who is sent, or dispatching. And mitto or mittere, the Latin verb form of this Latin noun, means to send. To send. Now, clearly then, there is a historical link between the word mission and sending. We're talking about missions. Clearly, just built into the word missions is an idea of sending or being sent or to send. And so then as we look historically at, okay, so it comes from the Latin, but when was the English word mission sort of first used? It seemed that it's first used in the 16th century, used as a term of actually about a group of Catholic priests called the Jesuits who began sending its members around the world to convert, and they then were called missionaries, the ones who were sent. And then as they went to different areas and as they preached and they evangelized, as they did these things, then they would build these specific buildings and locations, and these buildings were called missions. The actual building itself was a mission. And then in response, many Protestant groups saw this idea and thought, hey, that's a really good idea. Let's do the same thing. And they started sending out missionaries, calling them missionaries for sort of the first time. So one fundamental aspect of what do we mean by missions, one fundamental aspect, just going back to the root of the word, is it means sending. It has to do with sending, ones who are sent. And that's the first thing we can learn from the Latin term here, missio, mito mitere, missions. It's all about sending. Built into the understanding of this word is that of sending. The second thing that we can learn from this Latin term, missio, is actually a usage, a specific usage of this word, missio. It's first found in the great church father, Augustine, or Augustine, depending on how you want to pronounce it. No wrong way here. Right? So Augustine first started using this term and this phrase. He called it the missio dei, the missio dei. Missio, which we would translate as mission or sending, and then dei, right? Deus, we're talking about God. And so Augustine sort of coined this phrase, the missio dei, the mission of God, or the sending of God in a way. And then about 900 years later, another famous theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas, picks up on this phrase and he says, you know, let's think about the missio dei. What is the mission of God? He says, well, actually, the mission of God, we think about it in a Trinitarian way. The mission of God, right, God being Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the mission of God was when God the Father sent the Son. And why did he send the Son? Of course, to die on the cross for our sins, but also talk about the sending of the Son with the purpose of revealing himself to us. And so as Aquinas looked at the missio dei, the mission of God, he said, look, the mission of God was the Father sending the Son to reveal God to us. And then, of course, when the Son leaves, the Father and the Son, sending the Spirit to do what? To further reveal God to us. And so it's amazing how this little use of this phrase, missio dei, the mission of God, or the sending of God, gives us the idea that God actually participated in this mission or missions before we ever conceived of it, when God the Father sent God the Son to this earth to do what? To reveal himself to us. That the missio dei, the mission of God, then is the sending of the Son in order to reveal himself to the world. And then we realize that God is actually the source of missions. That he's, frankly, the founder of missions work. That the Father founded missions when he sent the Son to reveal himself to us. And this was the first missions. And the Spirit was then sent to further reveal God to us in an act of missions. So that when we talk about missions now, when we participate in missions, when we have a heart for missions, we're just participating in something that God himself began when he sent the Son to this earth. That God himself is doing missions currently as he has sent the Spirit, and the Spirit is here revealing him to us. That he started it, and then, of course, that God passed on this call to us. John 20, verse 21, you have Jesus speaking here, and Jesus says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about missions, and we talk about God's missio dei, the mission of God, which was God sending his Son to reveal himself to us, then that missio dei, that same mission of God, that same sending of God, was then passed on to us by Jesus. Jesus said, this mission that I have begun, this mission that I am here on, I am now giving you this same mission. Even so, just as the Father sent missio, sent me, so I, missio, am sending you on this mission to reveal God to every people group on this planet. Well, Jesus sends us, and we We then, when we participate in missions, we're participating in an act that God himself began and is continuing to do now and does even further through us. Now, this is sort of a broad definition then of what we mean by missions. It's got a sending component and a revealing of God component. And when we participate in missions, we're being sent by God to reveal him to those around us. And there are three short passages then that I'd like to share with you. Three passages that I look at and I say, this is missions. You can see missions right here. The first one, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Right, a famous passage that we've spent actually quite a bit of time on in the last year. As we spent some time here, as we were talking about what is a disciple, we talked about a disciple, right, being called a disciple here by Jesus and given a task. But I think in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, in this Great Commission, you can see both of these aspects of missions. So Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, right? And then think John 20, 21, even as I was sent from the Father, so I am sending you. And here we have Jesus saying, all authority has been given to me, so go therefore, right? Sent, Jesus is sending them, go therefore and do what? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Go, therefore, I'm sending you, and do what? Reveal God to everyone. Baptize them and teach them. Teach them about what? God. Right? Jesus has given us the command, go, therefore, I'm sending you, and reveal God and baptize and teach. Turn a couple books to Acts 1:8, to basically another Great Commission. Just a slightly different take on it. This one coming from Luke. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, we have Jesus again speaking, and now he's speaking to the disciples, and he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then do what? You will be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness of Jesus? It means you reveal God to those around you. You will be my witnesses, okay? We're revealing God, being his witnesses. And then notice where we will be his witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So where you're at right now. And in all Judea. And in Samaria. And to the ends of the earth. He says, look, your purpose here is I'm going to send you where? Not just to where you're at now, though it's a part. Right? Mission starts with where you're at in Jerusalem. I'm sending you to the people around you to reveal God. And then it moves out to Judea, the region in which Jerusalem is found. And then to Samaria, pushing the boundaries further, and then to the very ends of the earth. Jesus says, you're going to receive power from the Spirit, right? You need the Spirit in order to do this, but then you'll be my witnesses. You'll reveal me to those you encounter. Where? Here and further and all the way around the earth, because he's sending us to reveal him. But frankly, if there was one verse I would pick for missions, it would be Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Maybe just because it's a little more poetic. Though not from the mouth of Jesus, so it's probably a bad choice. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. Paul has just said in Romans 10, 13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Paul's just said, look, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? So then the question is, how then will they call on him, right? And they must call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Paul says, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I think this is such a beautiful picture of what missions is. Why? Because our desire, right, every believer's desire should be that everyone is saved. And we know God himself, he delays sending his son to return because he does not wish that any should perish. And we should have the same desire, the same passion that we don't want anybody to perish. And so we say, how are people saved? Well, they're saved by calling on his name. And Paul says, yeah, this is great. So they need to call on his name. How are they going to do that if they don't believe? And how are they going to believe if they've never heard about him? And how are they going to hear if nobody preaches? And how's anybody going to preach to them if they don't go? Right? How are they going to preach to them if they're not sent, if they're not missio sent, right? If they're not a missionary? And so Paul says, look, you got to send people to proclaim the word so that they know. You got to send people to preach, to reveal God to them. Why? So that they too might call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And then you look at verse 15, and when we think about preaching, right, we think about speaking. And then Paul says, of course, how beautiful are the lips of those who preach the good news. No, that's not what he says, is it? Right, that's what you'd expect. When we think about preaching, when we think about actually speaking and saying things, I couldn't preach if I didn't move my lips right now and use my voice. And yet what Paul says is how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Because Paul knows that in order for you to preach, you got to go. You got to go out and find people who need to hear the good news. And you got to reveal God to them. And how beautiful are the feet, because they make the people go. That you can't be sent and go somewhere without the feet. And so this is what we mean when we talk about missions. That as we talk about having a heart for missions, we're talking about having a heart for being sent to reveal God to people, or having a heart for those who we send and are revealing God to people. Having a heart for those who are sent by God and often by us as well. Having a heart for those who are sent to people to proclaim the good news. Why? Because God commanded us to. Because God commanded us to send and to be sent. God commanded us to go and to tell. And so when we talk about missions, this act of sending people out to different people groups to just reveal God, to talk about God to them. Why? So that they might call on his name and be saved. Then we should have a heart for missions. So over the next 3 weeks, right, we're going to talk then about what does it mean? What does it look like to have a heart for missions? But first and foremost, you got to realize that God himself started this whole thing off. When we're talking about missions and sending and revealing, that Jesus Christ was the first and greatest missionary that there ever was. And that the Father had a heart for missions in sending him. He said, yeah, I want you to go. I'm sending you to them. Why? So that you can tell them about who we are as a Trinity. So that you can reveal us to them and how they might be saved. And then Jesus got here and he said, look, just as I was sent, so am I sending you. I'm sending you to tell everybody about God, about the work that he has done, about the love that he has for the people of earth, so much so that he sent the Son to reveal and then to die. And that's why we should have a heart for missions, because look, if we're going to be Christ-like, we've got to realize that God himself has a heart and a passion for missions, so much so that he kicked off this whole missions thing. And so this is our goal for the next 4 weeks, to increase our heart for missions, to grow in our heart and our passion, our desire and our love for the work of missions that is going on around this world. So we're going to spend this time talking about how we have a heart for missions and how we can be involved in missions. Now, the first way that we're going to focus on getting more involved, on having a greater heart for missions, is we're going to learn more about what's going on with our missionaries here at Grace. So what we're going to do is we're going to get updates. Every single week, we're going to get a couple updates on our missionaries, how they're doing, what they're doing, and the work that they're doing around this world. However, we do these updates from time to time, and I want us to have a really intentional focus as we hear about what these missionaries are doing. I want us to think about what it means to have a heart for missions, and I want us then to think about three really practical, instant results of what having a heart for missions does for you. That as we hear about these updates, there should be sort of three things, three ways that it impacts you. Number one is that somebody who has a heart for missions just cares. Or that we should care about the people, about the missionaries, and about those being ministered to. So as we get these updates, I hope that it makes you passionate about, and that it gives you a greater care for the people who are being ministered to and the people who are doing the ministry. Number two, it should be a great encouragement to you. It should be a great encouragement, right? You should be encouraged to share your faith in your own life, just as you know that there are those sent to completely foreign worlds, whether even in Topeka or all the way across the globe, who are witnessing and sharing their faith as well. And so I hope that as you hear these updates, that you'll also be encouraged simply that God's work is going on and that missions is happening, but also encouraged to share your faith as well in your own life. And third, I hope that it brings you joy. I hope that it brings you joy, because what joy is there when you hear of God's work being done? That it should bring you such joy to hear of success, to hear these stories of people whose lives have been touched, that people are coming to believe in Jesus, or that people are just experiencing God's love in a new way. And so as we enter now into the first of these missions updates, what we're going to do is we're going to have two missions updates this week and the next couple weeks. We're going to have two missions updates where I've given these missionaries time, giving them 10 minutes each just to share some thoughts on a missionary, on what's happening. Some of our missionaries are abroad, right? Not in this room, don't have really direct access other than showing some videos and hearing some stories. But thankfully, right, we live in an awesome time where even though we can't have our missionaries here giving us updates, we can watch these incredibly, incredibly creative videos to find out what's going on. So as we hear about and as we focus on these missionaries now, I want you to think about what does it mean to have a heart for missions? Right? The fact that God has a heart for missions and that these people are sent to reveal God to a group of people. And I hope that as you hear these things, that it will help you to care for them, that you'll be encouraged in your own life. And the third, that you'll take joy in this. I'm going to invite Mike Barnes up first. Mike's the director of our missions ministry here at Grace. And so he's going to share with you a little bit, give you an update on one of our missionaries now. Thanks, Mike.
I'm going to talk to you about Tony and May last 5th. They're currently in Laos. But first things first, May and Tony send along their thanks for the gift cards. We'll certainly put them to good use. And May, on many occasions, sends along thanks for the support.